Amen. Praise be to God. Corey, you had a dream, I believe it was last night, about the rain coming, didn't you? You want to share that?
Actually, that was today. Oh, while okay. I was in praise and worship and in prayer, and I saw these rain clouds, and they were coming, and it was like a rainstorm, and it was coming, and I saw it off in the distance, and I asked the Lord, am I worthy? I want to be worthy to be in your reins, and I asked him to put me there, and he did. And he put me in his reins, and as the reins were pouring on me, fire and just white light was just flowing out of me, just like emanating out of me. And it was awesome. And I had a backpack on, and I had a walking stick as I was in the reins. And the thought that came to me was I was a sojourner. And as I was thinking on this and thanking God, the devil was trying to take this away, saying, "No, you're not going to be in this when the rains come. You're not going to get the blessings of God." And I said, "I don't think so." And I just rebuked the devil in Jesus' name, and this just awesome grace just flew through me and just attacked that devil and ran him off. So I just praise the Lord and thank Him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We're looking for wonderful, wonderful things here, folks. Everybody's getting excited. And the Lord is opening doors to make a way for the saints to be fed and ministered to, too. You know, that's exciting to me. I'm praising God for that. I was thinking maybe we could get a testimony out of a couple of folks. You know, a lot of folks are like me, folks. They don't like to get in front of a microphone. But I'm just begging them if they will do it. We heard some really good testimonies from Ruel and Christina Stewart the other day. They're down here visiting us. And Ruel has been working on the studio for Spirit One up there. He's been being a wonderful, wonderful help to us. He's framed it all up and going back up there to put the what do you call it, Ruel?
Lighting.
The siding and the... and the carpet on it, and it'll be finished. Praise be to God. And Brother Bill just came back from up there, and he put the tower up. He got to climb way up. He was on the top of the world, literally. He took a webcam and took a picture. It went all the way around him and looked at the awesome countryside that's all below him. He's up there on the top of the tower. So we're looking forward to seeing that little movie that he put together up there. I told him the other day, if he panned across his hand on the side of that tower, I bet he had white knuckles on that hand holding on to that thing. I know I would have had. Praise be to God. Well, anyway, Brother Ruel gave us a really good testimony the other night about what the Lord showed him and how the Lord miraculously protected him. And, the question in his mind and in a lot of his family's mind was, if you didn't have weapons, who's going to defend you? Well, I'll tell you who, folks. The Lord is going to be your defender because His power is made perfect in weakness. And he gave us an awesome testimony, a good description of the way that, what are you going to do if you don't have guns and weapons to defend yourself against the beast that God is sending to crucify you and you're refusing to go? Basically, he's sending the beast, folks. You know, what did Jesus say when he was going to the cross? Like a lamb led to the slaughter. And what did he say? I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. You never saw a lamb shoot at a wolf. You never saw a lamb bite a wolf, right? They just hunker down and die, folks. Where are we going anyway? Is heaven to be feared? Well, yeah, for the wicked. Ruel, you feel like sharing with us?
All right.
I feel like I'm dragging him to the mic here.
White knuckles.
White knuckles. Yes, it's on.
All right. Like David said, I'm pretty shy about talking on the mic, but I grew up, I guess I'll just give a quick testimony of how I grew up. I was actually brought up in a missionary group. From a kid, my parents are missionaries, And up until I was 12, I lived in a missionary group, and I was, you know, I was taught in the Word in a lot of different ways, and I really knew the Lord. And after I was 12, one of the false doctrines I was taught was that you could never lose your salvation, you know. And so after I was 12 and we left the group, I pretty much never really got in the Word, never really spent much time, you know, reading any scriptures to see if any of the stuff I'd been taught was true or not. I just believed, well, if I never can lose my salvation, why bother, you know, getting in the Word? Why bother seeing what the Bible has to say about stuff? And because of it, I actually was led astray for a while in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways was I got into buying a lot of weapons and guns, and I pretty much got a malicious spirit of thinking I was going to be able to defend myself in the flesh whenever persecution might have arisen and stuff. And a lot of my family and I, my twin brother and I, we started buying guns and ammunition and bulletproof helmets and gas masks and all kinds of weapons to, and we had different ideas of how we were gonna fight people when they came to arrest us and whatnot. And I really believed, you know, that I was justified and I was doing what the Lord wanted to, and I felt I was still in His will. But the fact was I wasn't getting in the Word, I wasn't reading the Bible, and I wasn't, you know, looking in the scriptures to see what the Lord said about it. I just, you know, I was leaning to my own understanding. And here's a couple testimonies. About 2 years ago, the Lord, I guess, through a lot of the Bible studies that you're hearing right now, opened my eyes and showed me, you know, that I needed to start getting the Word and reading the scriptures. And of course, when you start reading the scriptures, you see the Lord tells us we're supposed to put on Christ and walk as He walked. And I couldn't picture Christ taking up a machine gun and killing someone. And when they came to take Christ, you know, He even told them, don't, you know, when Peter took up the sword and cut the Roman's ear off, He rebuked him and told him, don't you know I could call 10 legions of angels down to protect me? Well, that's the protection, you know, one angel can destroy 20,000 people in the Bible, you know, and 10 legions could really, really take care of a lot. So I started thinking about that, and it reminded me of these two incidences, that separate incidences that had happened when I was a teenager. And the first one, I was about 18 years old, and it was when I had just started beginning my gun spree collection, and I was real into the flesh at the time. And one of my younger brothers had missed his bus home from school one day, and so he took the high school bus. He took the high school bus home, and we lived in a real bad part of town, and some of the kids in the high school bus didn't like the fact that he was on the bus, so as he was getting off, they kind of beat him up a little and kicked him off the bus. And I hadn't heard about it at the time, but next thing I know, about a half an hour later, about 30 of these little high school kids came up to our house. We lived out in the country, and they all surrounded the front of our house, and yelled at some of my younger brothers that they saw in the yard to bring out the one that they had beat up, because they wanted to, I guess, beat him up some more or something. And my brothers all came up to me, and knowing that I have all these guns and weapons and stuff, and they told me, you know, what was going on, and they said, you know, we need to get the guns and stuff. So, you know, of course I went at the time and armed all my brothers and loaded all the guns and took a gun out myself, and, you know, and I figured, you know, I'll show these guys, you know. And so I walked out there, and sure enough, there's about anywhere from 20 to 30 guys standing out in front of the house. And they were just young high school kids, you know, just kind of, I guess, ignorant in their thinking. And basically, right when I walked out, you know, I saw them on, and I remember just being real fearful, you know. Even though I had a gun in my hand, and I had all my brothers behind me with guns, and And I was just going up against these little high school kids that most likely weren't armed, but I knew that any one of them could have had a gun. And at any point, you know, in reality, they could have just pulled a gun out of behind one of their cars and shot me, and that would be it, you know. And, luckily for me, most of the guys, right when they saw me, they just jumped in their trucks and cars and took off, and they all left except for one group of kids jumped in the last car, and they were about to take off, and one of their friends started walking away, like, real slowly walking past the house, you know, thinking, well, I'm not going to, you know, act scared or whatever, I'm going to, you know, walk away slowly, and I remember, you know, I was kind of thinking, well, you know, my pride got in the way, and I was thinking, well, I'm going to scare him, so I started walking up to him, and the whole time I was had the gun pointed right above their heads, and at that moment, you know, I was believed 100% ready. If I'd have seen any of them, you know, reach for a gun or pull anything out, I was just going to shoot them, you know, which, of course, is not of the Lord, but at the same time, I knew at any point one of them could pull a gun out and shoot me. So I was real, you know, real kind of almost forcing myself just to get the courage, even with all the weapons we had, to you know, to walk up and tell this guy to leave. So I went up and I started walking towards him, I heard him speaking, and he spoke Spanish, and he didn't know I spoke Spanish, and his friends were kind of freaked out. I could tell they were freaked out because they were in their car yelling for him to jump in. And I walked up to him, and yelled at him to get in the car. And at first he acted like he didn't hear what I said, so I shot the gun above his head. And then he jumped in the car and took off. And I remember, they took off and left, and I never really thought much of it at the time. But I turned around, and I remember thinking it was kind of strange that none of my brothers who I'd given guns to had come out with me. They were all hiding back in the house, up until the point that the last guys left. And, I just thinking, oh, well, you know, that didn't, I would have pictured them all to have been kind of, you know, anxious to have a time to, you know, use the guns and show off or whatever. But, I guess, you know, the same spirit that I had of fear, knowing that I was trusting my flesh, they were even more scared than I was. And anyways, I never thought much of the situation at the time. And about 6 or 8 months later, I had this other situation where some of my younger brothers had gotten into, you know, smoking drugs and doing drugs and stuff. And some of their drug dealing friends, who they had told me stories of, were older guys that, you know, had a lot of guns, because they would tell me stories of how they pulled guns on them and, you know, even threatened them when they're supposed to be their friends. And a car of these guys drove up. There was about 5 of them in the car, and they drove up and asked. I had just gotten home from work, so I was getting ready to take a shower. I was just in my shorts, and I had walked up, and I didn't really know any of the guys, but one of them got out of the car, and he asked for one of my brothers. And I just, you know, I before I could even tell him, you know, I was about to say, well, I don't know where he is, you know, because I had just gotten home. But before I could say anything, he just starts being real rude and starts cursing me out and saying, why don't you go bleep and get him, you know. And then I just told him, I said, well, you know, I said, if that's the attitude you want to have, you know, then you can just leave, you know. And I knew he was one of his drug friends, so I told him, I said, you know, this is my family lives here, and I have my younger brothers, my little brothers, and my parents here, and I don't want you guys dealing your drugs and stuff, you know, on the property. If you want, you know, I'll tell my brother you stop by, and he can go visit you if he wants, but I don't want you coming around here doing that stuff. And right when I said that, all of a sudden, the guy who was obviously on some sort of drugs himself, because he was really out of control, just starts blaspheming the Lord, and he tells me, he says, I know you're just a little, and even at the time, you know, I still, like I said, I believed in the Lord, and I still, in my heart, I thought I was doing right, even though, you know, I had gone astray. He had known that I was sinning out of ignorance, because I was, you know, ignorantly believing my false beliefs and stuff, but a lot of my brothers had told him that I believed in the Lord, and And he just told me, he said, I know you're just a little wussy Christian, you know, and you know, the devil's more powerful than God, and your brothers have told me all about you, how you believe in God, and you don't know the devil's power because you've known the Lord your whole life, and you were born knowing the Lord, and the devil, you know, he can destroy the Lord and stuff, and he just starts putting down the Lord and telling me, you know, that basically, you know, mocking God and telling me that the devil is more powerful. And at that moment, like, all my reasoning and all my fleshly responses kind of left, and it was almost like the Lord just, it was almost like I stepped aside for a while, and the Lord just took me over for a moment, and the Lord just told him, you know, well, don't, and he started threatening to kill me, too. He started saying, you know, that he was going to kill me and stuff, and the Lord just had me stand there real calm. I had no fear at all whatsoever. And he just told me to tell him, well, if you think the devil's more powerful, and if you think, you know, the Lord, you know, can't take care of us, then just do whatever you got to do. Because he had just threatened to kill me about 3 to 5 times. And then, like, right when I said that, he quit talking. All his friends that were in the car during that entire time had this real, like, mocking spirit, too. They were all laughing at me, and like they were all ready to jump me, and the one guy that was in the passenger seat got out of the car at that time, and the other guys opened the side doors like they were ready to jump out too. And the guy walked up to me, and the Lord just had me stay perfectly still, didn't have me move, didn't have me put up any arms for defense or anything. And the guy just swung at me like a real, with his right fist, just swung at me like he was going to hit me right in the face. And I never moved, I never tried to dodge him, never blocked him or anything, but his fist stopped about 1 inch from my face, and I could just see it right by my left eye, and he just became like paralyzed at that moment. And as I'm staring right at him, he just became completely paralyzed, and his eyes stopped looking at me, and he was looking about 6 inches above my head with a look of complete shock and terror. And all his friends who were laughing at me and mocking me at the time, the three guys in the back seat slammed the door shut and just had a look of terror on their face, and the guy that was right beside him that had jumped out started freaking out and grabbed his friend who was pretty much paralyzed like a statue, who was stopped saying anything, and pulled him back to the driver's side and started apologizing that, you know, that they had stopped by and for everything they had said and stuff. And he just was freaked out and told him that that his friend was just coked up. And he's like, I'm sorry, we didn't mean anything. We promise we'll never, you know, mess with you again or whatever. And they all just jumped in their car and took off in complete terror. And I never had any problem with them ever again. They never came over and they never threatened me or anything again. And I thought about those two incidences, and the Lord showed me the time that I went out where I had all my buddies and all my brothers with guns. I was in complete fear and never felt any peace whatsoever. But the time I was by myself with a lot more scarier of people, actual drug dealers who were on coke and drugs, who were threatening my life and threatening the life of my, they actually threatened my mom's life too, saying they were going to kill my mom and everything. When I trusted the Lord and just let the Lord take care of it, he sent them running in terror, and I never did anything other than trust him. And the Lord showed me, you know, that, you know, if we put our trust in him, he'll be able to do miracles and protect us more than the entire American army will be able to do in the times to come. And that's what we need to put our faith in, is not in anything of this world. The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in the arm of the flesh. You know, and like David said, we're supposed to be led as sheep to the slaughter. And when we read in the Bible, one of the things that these Bible studies have really helped me with and encouraged me with is when we read the Bible, just believe exactly what it says. And when the Bible says to put on Christ and to walk as he walked, when we come to situations and false teachings where people tell us to trust in our guns and in the arm of the flesh, we need to ask ourselves, would Jesus do that? Could we see Jesus taking a gun and shooting someone for any reason? And just like in the Bible, Jesus had the power at any time to destroy the people that came to crucify him. But if he had done that, then he wouldn't have fulfilled what he came on the earth to do. But he trusted in the Lord, and through that, we have his grace to be able to claim his promises and everything, including, you know, our protection in the times to come. So I guess that's all I have to say, and I just want to encourage anyone out there. The Lord's been, 2 days ago, the Lord helped me get rid of almost all the rest of my guns. I had 28 different guns, machine guns, ammo, sniper guns, and all kinds of things, and I got rid of almost all of them now. And it just makes me feel a lot more comforted to know that I'm putting my trust in the Lord. And any one of you out there that had the same spirit of malicious spirit of thinking we're going to defend ourselves, the best thing I could tell you is to just give the Lord a chance to show you that we need to put our faith in him. All right. God bless you. Bye.
Thank you, Rule. That was great. Praise God. You forgive me for twisting your arm? Praise God. Well, what do you think they saw, folks? Wow, I bet it was one of them big angels, you know, about twice as wide as Rule, just a little, about 6 inches taller, you know, with a bazooka hanging over his shoulder. No, I
didn't.
The sword of the Spirit, maybe. Who knows? A fiery sword. It was bad, whatever it was. Bad news. Well, I don't know if Christina wants to share something with us. I heard her share a really good testimony, and it was pretty neat. A couple of them, matter of fact. You know that one you had about the White House? That was real good. The dream you had about the White House? She had an awesome dream about the White House. God's going to protect his children, folks. You know, again, this is about protection. Supernatural protection. Now, you're all right, huh?
We're both mic shy, but not in person, if you ever meet us. I had a dream, I guess it was probably about a year ago, and in the dream there was a white house on a hill, and it had like a porch with pillars, white pillars, like sort of like a colonial style home, but it was older, and it was up on a hill, and there was like a screen door, and inside there was a room and a table, and I remember there was a bunch of people there, and we were all sort of just fellowshipping, and David Eales was there at the sort of sitting at the head of the table, and we were just talking, and my husband Ruel decided to I guess there was a lot of young kids there, and he was gathering them together to play a soccer game down in the field, and so he went and he took the kids down there, and they were playing this game, and then the storm started to come. I was sort of standing on the porch watching them play, and a storm started to come, and it was just like thick black clouds just started rolling, you know, towards where we were standing. And so I started to get really fearful about the children that were playing in the field. And I was, you know, just this fear was kind of building up in me. And I was like, oh, no, the kids are down there and they're playing soccer and they're in the field. And here comes the storm. And there were all these tornadoes, but they were like miniature tornadoes, and they started to come towards the kids. And so I ran in the house to get David, because I knew that, you know, he had the faith to pray away the storm. And so he came out real calm, and by this time it's just like the wind is raging, and, you know, like loud, it's so you have to almost yell, you know, over the wind. And and he just came out real calm and just prayed, you know, the prayer of faith for the storm to cease. And the winds calmed down, and there was like this globe that I don't know, like a force field or a globe or like a, I don't know if anyone has seen the cartoon The Incredibles. There's like this force field. It was like just this force field around the whole area. And then, but outside was still the black, and the storm was still going on. And then there was like a covering that went over all of the kids that were playing in the field, and to protect them. It was like a grass covering. It was pretty strange. And it was just real peaceful. And I was just so amazed and encouraged, you know, by the safety that was inside of the globe, or you know, and then there was a river that was flowing from the house. I noticed this after the globe. I looked, and there was a river that was flowing down out of the house, down the hill, you know, down into the field, and the river was just like sparkling, like. You know, when the sun hits the water sometimes, and it just sparkles and glows, and it was like glitter. Yeah, it was like glittering almost. And I was so impressed with the river that I went, you know, into the river to walk across it, because it was warm too. You know, it wasn't cold, and like some of the glitter that was, it was just glowing. It was just, you know, like coming, you know, falling on me or whatever, and it was just sparkling, you know. And I was just so amazed and just in peace about the whole thing. And then I woke up, but it actually that dream really helped me too. When we went through the hurricane, I was thinking about that, about the winds and about praying. And you guys actually prayed for us. I guess it was a few days before the hurricane came, and I also, that dream kind of came back into my mind about, you know, God's protection for us. So.
Praise the Lord. And I remember you telling me that that the tornadoes you knew were no threat to Rule because he was big.
Yeah, I was worried about the kids because they were like kid-sized tornadoes, yeah. Like miniature tornadoes. But
you know, those kids are probably not physical kids. They probably represent people who are young in the kingdom. And you know, some things that God's people go through are relatively small compared to what they could be, but it's because of their maturity that they are big to them. You know what I'm talking about? God's people are very immature. And Rule in this dream, he didn't have anything to fear from the tornado because he was big. You know, folks, that's what we need to do. We need to get big. We need to grow up. And God's word is the only food that we have that would cause us to grow into the image of Jesus Christ. We need to grow up in the word of the Lord. You know, I think that river of living water that she was talking about wading through is kind of like Ezekiel's river of living water, you know. It represents the word of God. You know, it's there to mature us and to protect us and to bless us, you know. God's awesome. His protection is going to be for his people. There's no doubt about it, you know. But immature people going into this time, they're the ones that are threatened, not the mature people. So grow up in the Lord. It's totally up to you to tell you the truth. The Lord has already provided everything that we need for life and godliness, you know, according to Peter. And we just need to partake of that word, that living water that has the power to make us live above this world. I don't know if maybe Bill wants to share a testimony. He had a really powerful faith experience there in putting the tower up. Maybe he wants to share something with us. What do you think, Bill? I'm putting everybody on the spot tonight.
As David said, I recently got back from Georgia, and I had the dubious honor of erecting the antenna tower. I went there not expecting what I had gotten myself into. If I knew then what I know now, I probably would have had a thought twice about going up there. It's a good thing I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I don't have a fear of heights. I have a healthy respect of heights, put it that way. Having built the antenna foundation and the anchors, and I built it from the ground up, basically. And so I knew it as what was going to support the antenna tower itself. And things were going pretty good. The first 40 feet was not bad. And we got it anchored down pretty well. And then the next 40 feet went pretty good. And and then we were getting to the point where it was timed, and we got the guy wires up, so forth. And I was, every day I'd look at the guy wire anchors and just check them out. And that one morning, one was cracked. And I tell you what, that cracked my confidence big time. I says, man, I don't know about this. I think we got to double think this thing, because the anchors is what holds the guy wires in place, and those anchors don't, if they give, that's it. You know, that tower can fall over. And every time I climbed that tower, I had to pray before I climbed up that tower. I says, I know, Father, you can hold that tower up, because it's not my confidence in this equipment, I tell you that, it's holding this tower up. It's my faith. That's holding that tower up. Otherwise, I never would have climbed up that tower. There's no way. And we got to the point where it was time to put the top section on the tower. And we just had a lot of delays. It was like God was really testing me, because every minute more I had to wait to put that top section up, it was like pulling teeth for me. Because I just wanted to hurry up and get it up there and get this thing done. And we got up Sunday morning, but Sunday afternoon, or actually right before it got dark, Sunday night. And I got up Sunday morning, and I had really negative feelings. I was looking at the anchors, and I was looking at the guy wires, and during the night, one of the turnbuckles got loosened up, so the tower was leaning, and I'm going, oh, man. I know I'm not climbing up that tower if it's leaning. I got to get it straightened up. And one of the guy wires went through a tree and was hitting a limb, so it wasn't really, a limb was putting pressure on the guy wire, and that wasn't good either. And I was going, man, this is not good. And I said, Father, you want me to go up that tower? You want that top section to go up? You're going to have to give me the faith to do it, because, man, right now I have no faith. I have no faith. And I says, I says, if it's your will, that tower is going, that top section is going up, and I know it is, okay? And I said, I haven't come this far to give up. I'm not going to get up, and I'm not going to walk away from this thing. And about that time, Bob came out, and he's always upbeat, you know? And I was trying to get that tower straightened up. And so me and him, we got it straightened up, and we talked and so forth, and he said he needed to go in the town and get some parts for that top section, because the bolt that held the mast in place broke off. So he had to devise another way to keep the mast in place on the top section. So he gave me a job to do. I had to put the ground wire on the antenna tower. The ground wire goes from the antenna itself all the way into the ground in a grounding rod on the base of the antenna tower. And it's like a 50-foot coil of copper wire. And then Bob Lees goes into town and says, how am I going to get that 50-pound coil of wire on top of that tower? And I'm just standing there, and God starts putting all these things in my head on how to do this thing. And things just start snapping into place, and I climbed up the tower. I got that grounding wire in, and things were falling into place. I started getting a lot of confidence. Says, you know, yeah, Father, you're working in me now. I can feel it, you know. And about the time I got that grounding wire in place, that Bob got back from the hardware store in town, and we got that the mast in place, and it came time to
haul up the top section. And so we had the top section, the main mast, and the antenna attached to the main mast. But the main mast. My Navy terminology coming back. It has to extend out, but we had it inside the top section so it wouldn't cause a problem as we were hauling it up. And so before we started hauling that up, I told Bob, I said, I want to pray about this. I says, this is a very important maneuver here, and we don't have experienced people doing it, you know. I'm the most experienced person now because, you know, I've been up and down that tower and I've got, you know, figured some things out and so on and so forth. And I basically felt like David in the cave there with his band of renown, you know. So we're just scraping up whatever help we can find around the place. I says, we need to pray about this. And we said a prayer. Scripture I used was Mark 11:24 and Matthew 18:18, saying if you pray about something, believe it and you'll receive it. And then when two or three people come together, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, he's there among you. And I said, it's not me going up that tower because it's not in me to go up that tower. I says, Father, you want that section up, it's going up. And I believe it's going up, and we're going to get that section up, and nobody's going to be injured, and it's going to go smoothly. Well, God always answers the prayer, but he always tests your faith at the same time. We start hauling it up the first time, and it was very awkward because it had that mast and antenna on the top, and it wasn't going up straight. So we lower it back down, I told Bob we're going to have to walk this thing up. And I said I was going to go down the tower and actually walk up with the top section so I could hold it in place, climb up the tower at the same time. And he says, no, he's going to have Darcy do that, his wife. And I said, man, I don't know about that. That's two of us up here at the same time. I said, plus that top section, it weighs, you know, pretty heavy. It was the heaviest piece we hauled up there because it had the mast and the antenna attached to it. And I'm going, I don't want to be up here all that way. And I says, oh, well, it's going up. I believe my prayer. I'm sticking with my prayer. You know, I believe it. It's going to happen. So we started hauling it up. Darcy walked it up or climbed up with it and it got into place. We were hauling it up there with a thing called a gin pole, and it's a steel pipe that latches to the tower, and it's got a pulley on top, and it's got a rope, and you just like a hoist it up. And there was a tail rope on there on the section. Somebody's holding the tail rope to keep it from swinging, and I had another rope on the top pulling it up. So we actually had three ropes, plus Darcy was walking up with it. Well, we got all the way to the top of the gin pole. And when Bob hooked it onto the section, he hooked it up too high. So I had about 8 inches extending from the bottom of the last section that was attached so it wouldn't swing over. I says, Bob, I don't believe you did that. And I says, well, we're just going to have to lower it down again. I says, wait. No. Because, you know, I want to get down off that tower as soon as possible. I don't want to be up there any longer than I have to be up there. And I says, wait a second. Darcy was about 10 feet below me. I says, Darcy, you come up here. And I says, I'm going to grab the tower. I'm going to hold on to it. And they're going to let loose the rope below. And then you take that hook and you lower the hook down about to the next rung. And that's what we did. And we hauled it up. It cleared the bottom of the last section that was attached, and it just wasn't going to go in. I couldn't get that thing in for nothing. Any way I tried to maneuver and everything, it just wouldn't go in because it had the mast in there and the antenna, and plus Bob attached the little light box, and it was getting in the way of the pulley, And I wasn't going to lower that thing down again. It was getting dark. And I don't want to be up there in the dark fighting with this thing. I says, Father, that thing is going in right now. And wham, that thing jumped, it just snapped right into place. And I told Darcy, I said, Darcy, that was not me that did that. I did not do that. And Bob saw it just going up. He was down there at the bottom, and he could just see it snap right into place. And so I said, that's it. It's done. Now let's get off this thing, you know. But the point being is that I went up there in faith because, as I told David, I said it wasn't within me to climb up there and do all that work on a, you know, in the wind and the rain, and it was windy and rainy that day when we did that too. So we got it done, and nobody got hurt, and it was done by faith, and our faith was definitely tested, but every time it was tested, I just kept on going forward and didn't look back. So,
praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Fought the good fight of faith and won, right? Thank you, God. Well, anybody else got a testimony while we're on a roll here? That's good. Praise the Lord. You'll have to use the mic.
Two or three years ago, the Lord laid it on my heart that He wanted me to share what I've been learning here, and I've been sharing it with the people there at the salon that I work at. And anyway, this other situation was put on my heart about getting a pop-up camper, and I got that several months ago, and I've gone through several situations of altering it down so I can handle it, and little edges of different things needed to be done, and somehow it's all come together. You know, I think Nate's going to work on my Jeep again because I'm still having problems with the transmission. And he was telling me tonight that he really wanted to get that done because I've been so faithful to continue to pay him for the things that he has done to it, which hasn't really covered the particular problem. At any rate, he's going to take care of that, and I'm not concerned about that anymore. But everything's all done, so I'm sort of like in this limbo situation of sort of being numb about, you know, it's here, it's time. It's time to go now. And so like I've shared before, I'm all excited about it, and I'm sort of scared to death about it too. Of course, we're not supposed to have any fear, but I'm just, you know, the things that are unknown, like Bill working on this antenna and everything, and his heart's desire was to complete the antenna and get it up because he knows the importance of what it's for. And it's the same with me in this situation with mine. Each of us has something that we're all God has called us to do, and even Raul being down here with his wife and everything, and his coming from the very beginning, it's just excited me to see these people, and they've touched my hearts of how they've been so obedient concerning what God has put on their heart. And it's just been sort of a very neat situation for me for the last 12 years to attend this Bible study and not only watch myself of how I've grown, but watching the others that's grown up in the Lord and see them move out into the ministries God's called them to. And it's the most exciting thing that's happened in my 61 years is to see God move in His people and see His people just become so compliant in the things that God's asked them to do. And like Bill was sharing, it isn't us, it's the Lord in us. And even that's more exciting because then there's no fear about what you are called by Him to do because you know He's going to do it in you and accomplish what His purpose is in your life. So I just want to encourage anyone out there listening that God's going to do in us what He's called us to have done through us. And that's even exciting because, you know, I know I'm not worthy. I know, in my flesh, I shouldn't be here. But being here, I know that it was because I was called and God had a purpose in my life. And that means so much to me coming from the life that I came out of. So I just want to encourage anyone out there. God's moving in us and God's moving in His elect. And I know that some exciting things are ahead. And like David has said, we're not to fear about what God's called us to or what we're headed for because it's Him that's in us, and it's Him that's going to accomplish.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, we're going to see Brother Kato off tomorrow. I thought maybe he might pray for you folks, a blessing upon you. And then we'll just end with that, okay? God bless you.
Father, we come before you and thank you for this time. Just thank you for the fellowship, Lord, and the word and the testimonies, Lord, that we just had. Father, just continue to quicken us by your Holy Spirit into your word, Lord God, and that we just had. We just ask that for more of your spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding to understand more of your word and what we've learned today. Father, I just pray for each and every one, Lord God, listening on the airwaves, Lord, on the internet, Lord, and here in the fellowship, that Father, you bless them, that Father, continue to draw them to yourself, that they'll run after you, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your anointing, your fresh anointing. Just set us on fire for you, Lord, that we run after you, Lord God. Let your word burn like a fire in our bones, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, as we are transformed, Lord God, into your image, Lord, into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we just thank you and give you all the glory and honor. Lord, I just thank you for your healing right now, for any person that is sick, listening, Lord God, right now. Father, we just thank you that you're touching them, that you're setting them free from any sickness and disease, any oppression of Satan, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for that healing. Amen.